Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. Live Yaquas Radio, worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yaquas Radio, Yaquas Ministry. I'll be your host by name, your Seer Israel. Oh, Seed Royal. All right, we're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of Tribe YHDH Yagda, part number 116. And we got the memo saying that the elder will be a few minutes late. So he'll give you all the details, and the young line will be a few minutes late coming to the broadcast. So what we're going to do is see who is a few minutes early and always ready to go, and it's called a lioness. Mother D.F. Israel. She'll say, okay, well, see, you know, we understand they'll be a few minutes late, but one thing about it, you know, I'm not here for cameo. I got too much time in this. I'm in this to win it. So too close now, Seer. All right. I mean, that's the spirit I'm talking about. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother D.F. Israel, Mother E., Mother Z., mothers, I ain't got to ask them what spirit they in. They bring the same spirit every time we see them since I have known them. And that tells me a whole lot. Trenches. Because they bring the same spirit with them every time. And that's what I like. And that's how you build this nation. That's how your nation going to be built. So we see Mother D.F. Israel. She already worn up in the background with her grandbaby. So point that belt to them grandbabies and that shoe. Say, hold on now. Oh, Grandma, get ready to talk some talk about some dust as Yahweh. So hold it up for a little while. All right. Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahweh, Judah, come out of Camp 1. Yahweh beat you there, see right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother D.F. Israel. Well, Mother D.F. Israel, you see a lot of commitments is made. We hear a lot of conversation about the mouth. And that's a great thing, because one thing about it, once they make a commitment with the mouth, we got to show them what the condition it is once you make a commitment. See, our job is to show you the condition of the battle. Because they love to say, well, I'm all in to win it, you know, but then we have to show the anointing leadership, got to show them the condition of the battle. See, and once they understand the condition of the battle, now let's see what you made of when the kryptonite drops on those that you love the most. Will it be kryptonite to you? It's up to you. We don't know. But one thing about it, the mothers and those seers will be ran back peeping and see, you know, when you're on the clock, would you respond according to the Bible? Or would you respond according to your feelings and day feelings? Would you make a Bible decision? Or would you make a worldly decision? I don't know. We have to watch you. But we've heard a lot of vows can't say we ain't heard a lot of vows there, Mother D of Israel. We heard a lot, and that's a good thing. Now, we're going to see the action behind the vow. We love to sit back and hear them, and we love to hear you step up to the plate and make vows. Okay, good. Now, we know how to sit there and watch you now. We'll watch you all the way. So, Mother Dear of Israel, everybody will be a few minutes late. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through the spirit of Yahuwah. How about you looking at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, real carefully, and see what you can get out of Luke 12, verse 12, Mother D.F. Israel, come on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. The righteous spirit do the teaching. The righteous spirit do the teaching. No doubt about it, Mother D.F. Israel. The righteous spirit will teach you. But the righteous spirit will, in the book of Wisdom of Solomon, verse 4 down to verse 10, let's talk about it. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, 4 down to verse 10. Let's see what we can get out of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4 down to verse 10, Mother D.F. Israel. What can we get out of that? Come on.
The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. That was just
right. That's what I say.
The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4.
Yeah, straight down to 10. Straight down to 10.
The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, verse 4. For unto a malicious soul, wisdom shall not enter, neither dwell in the body that is subjected unto sin. Verse 5. For the righteous spirit of discipline will flee deceit and remove from thoughts that are without understanding, and will not abide when unrighteousness come in. Verse 6. For wisdom is a loving spirit, and will not acquaint a blasphemer of his word, for Yahuwah is witness of his reign, and a true beholder of his mind, and a hearer of his tongue. Verse 7. For the spirit of Yahuwah filleth the world, and that which contain all things have knowledge of the voice. Verse 8. Therefore, he that speaketh unrighteous things cannot be hid, neither shall vengeance when it punish passes by him. Verse 9. For in shall be made unto the counsel of the Yahuwah, and the sound of his word shall come unto Yahuwah, for the manifestation of his wicked deceit. Verse 10. For the ear of jealousy hears all things, and the noise of murmuring is not hid.
That's good. So what do verse 6 and 10 say again there, Mother D.F. Israel? What do verse 6 and 10 say in that first Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1, verse 6 and 10? What that say, Mother D.F. Israel?
The Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 10. Verse 6. For wisdom is a loving spirit, and will not acquaint a blasphemer of his word. For Yahweh is witness of his reign and a true beholder of his mind and a hearer of his tongue. Verse 10. For the ear of jealousy hears all things, and the noise of murmuring is not hid.
You see that? So you see, if you can know all the book you want, you can know all the precept you want, but if you don't have a loving spirit and you got a backbiting, murmur, complaining spirit, and you ain't rolling your sleeves up to get in where you fit in at, you just wasting your time tick-tocking, and Yahweh going to deal with you on the time appointed. He said, you got to have a loving spirit. Matter of fact, your spirit got to be a Galatians 5:22. Mother dear of Israel, what do the Galatians 5:22 say you got to have?
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and the covenant. Faith.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a few good men and women that fit that profile.
Yeah.
You can read up everything, you can preach up everything, but what we're looking for in the six anointed camps is what the Bible says that we need to move this to another level. The spirit's got to come in, got to be of a loving spirit, not a backbiting, cutting the eye spirit. You got to be about Yahweh's business according to as it is written. That's the spirit we're talking about, C. Ray. Because anointed leadership out of the six anointed camps, we're going to spot you. And remember what's written in Numbers 32, verse 23. See, the six anointed camps is going to spot you. And in Numbers 32, 23, help me out there, Mother D.F. Israel. What do that say that we can read?
Numbers chapter 32, verse
23.
Numbers 32:23.
Yes.
Okay. I'm in the wrong book. I'm going to do the right. I'm sorry about that. I was in Deuteronomy. That's why I kept on saying. Okay, Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, read. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sins will find you out.
He said, be for sure your sin gonna find you out. See, remember, our job is to watch you make a commitment. And with a photographic memory of the six anointed camps, you say, okay, well, we take notes on your bowel and what you own and what you say you own, but we'll watch you. We'll see what you line up with the book or what you have a cutting eye spirit. We know if you got a cutting eye spirit, that means you use your parental vision. You look for things that is wrong, not things that are right. So we're clear about that. So we will watch you make a commitment. Now, we had a lot of vows over the weekend. We heard a lot of vows. And we're going to watch them vows and see how them vows unfold themselves, because we heard a lot of them. Is that right, Mother D.F. Israel?
Hallelujah.
Can I get a holler? Can I get a hallelujah while that Mother D.F. Israel?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So, hallelujah. So, but we like to hear. That's the point. We like to hear about. Because we're going to see what you're made of. Because we know what we on. Because we entering in season, out of season. We ready to take care of this man's business. So, in the book of Sirach, Mother D.F. Israel, the Sirach chapter 15, verse 19 down to verse 24. Can you help the old seer out? Mother D.F. Israel in Sirach chapter 19, verse 19 down to verse 24. Can you help the old seer out? You on the clock. Sirach chapter 19, verse 19 down to verse 24. What's that saying, Mother D.F. Israel?
Sirach chapter 19, verse 19 to 24. And it reads, the knowledge of the commandments of Yahweh is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. Verse 20. The fear of Yahweh is all wisdom, and all wisdom is the performance of the law and the knowledge of his omnipotency. Verse 21. If a servant say to his master, I will not do as it pleases thee, though thou afterwards he do it, he agrees him that nourish him. Verse 22, the knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom, neither at any time the counsel of sinners prudent. Verse 23, there is a wickedness and the same an abomination, and there is a fool warning in wisdom. Verse 24, he that has small understanding and fears Yahweh is better than one that has much wisdom and transgress the law of the Most High.
So he's saying that, read verse 19 again, Mother D.F. Israel, 19.
Sirach chapter 19, verse 19. The knowledge of the commandment of Yahweh is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality.
Well, that's great, Mother D.F. Israel. But what pleased Yahweh that we can read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22? What pleased Yahweh that we can read there, Mother D.F. Israel? He said, he now young brought in how to please Yahweh. See, I think we more trying to please the world.
Yeah.
But we need to know what pleases Yahweh. Let's see what pleases Yahweh, Mother D.F. Israel. 1 John 3:22. Can you help the old seer out on what pleases Yahweh? Come on.
1 John 3:22.
Yes, ma'am. What pleases Yahweh that we can read?
1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
So, Mother D.F. Israel, what's pleasing in Yahweh's sight? Huh?
It's Torah instruction. It's commandment.
It's first five books, huh? So that's pleasing in his sight. So remember one thing. Who are you trying to please? Because what's pleasing in Yahuwah's sight is you doing his Torah instruction. Now, that's how you please him. Huh? But we have a tendency to put him as an afterburner. And we don't please him because we make the Torah instruction as a afterthought. So keep that one thing in your mind. You're not pleasing him when you're not prepared to take care of his business. So just keep that in your mind. And what is written that we can read in the book of Luke, chapter 12, 47 and 48. Mother D.F. Israel, what can we read out of Luke, chapter 12, verse 47 and 48? What can we read?
Luke, chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Verse 47 reads, "And that servant which know his Yahuwah will and prepares not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Verse 48. "But he that knoweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with little stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him that will ask the more."
You see that? And the one that got is committed to this thing, they will ask, "Oh, what else can I do?" We're looking for by watching the page of the book. He said, when they got the Yahuwah spirit on them, they'll not only ask, they know much is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. And you know what they're starting to do? They ask, well, what can I do some more? I want to do some more. You know, I was watching the Young Lions, and they said, well, look, oh, see, you know, I want to get out in the garden and do some more. I thought, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to get out in the garden and do a little bit more? Yes. Well, what can I say? it tells me in the book Matthew 18:19, it makes a profound statement. So when the call came in, I said, well, you know what's on my mind, seer? I want to get out in the garden and do some more. Then what came on my mind is, you know, I had scheduled to talk to some elders, but then all of a sudden 18:19 hit me in the brain while I was getting my books ready. What it says in Matthew 18:19?
Matthew chapter 18. Oh. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19. "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
Oh, so I know that the call came in and one say, you know, I wanna get out there in the garden and check a few things and see how things going, see, because the word went out that we need to make a move. So I want to make a move, but then all of a sudden I was packing myself to go, and then the birds hit me and said, wait a minute, sir. When did two make that agreement? No. Mm-hmm. One made it. So you know what that means, sir? Whatever you getting ready to do, you got to fulfill this right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my books down and said, well, let me go find my garden, my garden clothing, and get with you. Let's get with it. That's the way I've seen it. This is about Yahuwah's business. So I know one thing, when two touch and agree. And that's why we said earlier, when we do sit out there at the table, don't take but two. Two. And be in the spirit of Yahweh. And you know, Mother Dear of Israel, she won't have a best eye on you. So, hey, you know, hey, we got this covered. But we clear about the Bible what to do. But we probably, verse 20 will kick in sooner or later. What's what it say in that verse 20?
Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, yeah, so that's what happened. So what happened there, Mother Dear Israel, a young lion, you know, he got so getting down on what he's doing, so he probably, you know, well, let me get me a little quick nap before we get on the network, and he probably still getting his nap in. That was going on. But the seal be ready to go. Because, see, the seal is devoted for one thing. What about thus says Yahweh? That's it. That you want some Yahweh, you got the seal's attention. And I know who got a fear like that. It's Mother D of Israel. Come down to Yahweh's business. What's on your mind about Yahweh's business? See, that's the way it got me. That's the way. So I know what the young lion did. He laid down and overslept himself. But that's a good thing. But guess who's ready to go? Yep, Israel. See, this ain't going to be stopped. This going to go forward, and it's going to bust wide open, tell you in advance. Because we're going to get in order. And the walls that much is given to, much is be required of you. So if you can't physically get in that, you can do other things about that garden. About making a donation for the garden. Free will offering, donation. You can do that part. You can donate for this thing to go forward. It can go forward any way it go. Land in front, left, right, and behind. It's going to happen any way it go. So, bottom line, if you can't physically get in that garden, you can support it with stop That's having right. alligator arms and amnesia. You are where you fit in at. The area right there. So that's what's going on here. So, in the book of Amos, as a matter of fact, look, we got Camp Four just come on stage. Let's see if Camp Four is on stage to throw some book down. Let's talk about Camp Four around Detroit, Michigan. Camp Four around Detroit, Michigan's on stage for the night 116. Let's see, can we meet Camp Four, Detroit, Michigan? Princess Leora Israel from Camp Four out of Detroit, Michigan. Y'all probably beat you that scene, right? Detroit, Michigan. Y'all probably beat. What you saying, Latter-day Saints? Get back to the program. We going to mute her. Well, it's your radio station. So, in the book of Amos there, one thing we do know in Amos 3, verse 3, what can we read out of Amos 3, verse number 3 there, Mother D of Israel? Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. What can you read?
Amos chapter 3, verse 3 reads, can two walk together except they be agreed?
See, two got to walk together, but the two got to be together in 1, verse 5 and 6. Now, this is how the two got to be. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Can two walk together except they agree? But what kind of two are we talking about? Let's see what kind of two we're talking about that we can read in Luke 1, verse 5 and 6, Mother Dear of Israel. What kind of two we're talking about can walk together and agree? Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Come on.
Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of a bath, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of Yahweh blameless.
So, we of the six anointed camp understand one thing, we got to sacrifice ourselves to help others. So when a couple come to us for advice, how do the two must be, or shown how to be and see what kind of commitment they're going to make, Mother D.F. Israel. So how do the couple supposed to be according to what we just got through read? So a couple come to the mother, take Mother D.F. Israel, and they want to talk about whatever. So according to run 5 and 6, what would you tell them according to verse 5 and 6 that you can read, Mother D.F. Israel, come on?
They both got to be walking in the Torah instruction of Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. They both got to be walking. You both got to be in the Torah instruction. For this, for what you plan on doing, y'all must be on the same page, walking in the Torah instruction. That is my medicine for you. You both got to be that way. Well, you know, you know, I listen to him sometimes, and sometimes, you know, I have a problem because his voice will get kind of loud on me. Well, understand one thing. You think Yahweh made a mistake? Oh, no, he made a mistake. It just, I just can't come to call him by his biblical name once we behind closed doors. Also, but you can do it once we're in the streets, huh? Or somewhere. No. You gotta be 2 Timothy. See what you gotta be. No, I don't work like that. No, you have to be a 2 Timothy. Let's see what we can read in 2 Timothy. You know, once we get in the car, then I can go back to B-A-N in here. No, that's not the right spirit. That's not the proper spirit for leadership. No. You can't do that. You have to be according to what we can read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4. Well, see, you can read out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 3 and 4. Let's read that, Mother Dear of Israel. Let's see, now, because you know, you sit around, well, you know, I can, long we in a temple, one of the six anointed camp, I can say he's my Yahweh and call him by his biblical name. But once we get back in the car, no, don't work like that. You have to be 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, 3, and 4. What does it say, Mother Dear of Israel? What does it say? We can read. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, 3, and 4. Come on.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. I mean 2 to 4.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Mm-hmm. They're turning away, they're itching ears, and they want somebody to tell them something to make them feel good. No, it don't work like that, see, right? You have to have the same spirit on you every instant in season, out of season, outside of the house, inside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have that right spirit on you. You gotta have the right spirit on you. If I'm your Yahuwah while we in one of the six anointed camps, when we get home, I'm still your Yahuwah. See, you don't turn up nothing and turn something down. That make you a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta be about this business and be about Yahuwah's business, and that's what we own. We build up something, and he made it plain that when we building up something, and let's see what he says. Let's get a precept on that. Let's go to Kings chapter. I go to Daniel chapter 2. See, we building up something. Six anointed camps is building up something because we know the world is doing their thing. But Yahuwah say, well, don't worry about the world. Do my thing. Do what pleases me. So you going to have to come clean and just say it's Yahuwah. So this is what he says here in the book of Daniel chapter verse 44. Make it plain there, Mother D.F. Israel. And then we're going to see what's going to happen in verse number 46 and 47. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, then skip down to verse 46 and 47. What can we read there, Mother D.F. Israel? Come on.
Daniel chapter 2, verses 44, 46, and 47. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall Yahuwah of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your Yahuwah is a Yahuwah of Yahuwah and a Yahuwah of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal his secrets.
And he said, your Yahuwah is a Yahuwah of Yahuwah. And if you precept that to 247 and 48 of Joel and verse 32, it makes a profound statement there, Mother D.F. Israel. It makes a profound statement in Joel chapter 2, verse 27, 28, and 32. Now, the king said, so he said, now the days of these kings, that Yahuwah going to set up something. And it ain't going to never fall until he returns. Do you know that's in the making right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Six Anointed Camp is making that move right now? Governed by Yahuwah, about Yahuwah, and we going to see this thing unfold itself in Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you. Drag your feet. Jack your slack. Be a murmur, backbiting, complain. If you can't get, know where the PayPal at. Contribute to this ministry because everything before us, according to the 40th chapter, verse 4 of Jeremiah, and his will be done. His will be done through this ministry 10 years front. How it's going to happen. In advance, that's the job of a seer, is to show you what the Bible says. Watch things from the pages of the book. We see it. Now, those that got an ear to hear will see and contribute into this, because it's going to happen with you or without you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hallelujah. What?
Hallelujah.
What are we reading?
You said Joel.
What are we reading that we can read? What are we reading?
Okay. Joel. Joel chapter 2, verses
27, 28, and 32. Then I'll be in Matthew chapter 7 waiting on you. Yes, ma'am. Give me 2, 27, 28, and 32.
Okay. Joel chapter 2, verse 27, 28, and 32, verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, children of Israel, and your daughters, children of Israel, shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever the children of Israel shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Yagdah, and in Yagdah shall be delivered, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call.
That Yahweh, how many letters in that Yahweh?
Four letters, YHWH.
Four letters.
Yeah.
So when 144,000 come to a completion, which we talked on a few days ago, it's already been in the makings in Ezra days.
Mm-hmm.
So that time is closer than you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that time is according to Matthew's 24. Let me show you what time is. Let me show you what the Bible says, what time it is. We're going to Matthew 24 there, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see how close this thing is, whether you know it or not. That's why this ministry called the Six Anointed Camps of Voices of the Jewish Right. We got to be on point. And all them excuses about I can't find my books, and I don't know what my book said, that's a shame. My company might mess around. I got to have books in my company. That means you're in the world. That means you're not doing Yahweh's business. And one thing about it, if you don't bow about the Yahweh, he gonna collect. I remember as a brother when one of the six anointed kept, he made a bow to Yahweh. He said, hey, seer, I think I want to be a teacher. I said, you do?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's a good thing. That's what you're created to be, as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started teaching, and all of a sudden he found out the women didn't like certain things. They liked this part, but didn't like that part. Then he backed away. I don't want to be a teacher no more. I said, you can't back away from this, brother. Because he want to stay popular with the women. He don't want to make the hard decisions according to the scripture. So he backed away, and all of a sudden, then Yahweh got the collecting on him. And even to this day, Yahweh still collecting on him. And he still can't figure out, why is this, all this happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
He still can't figure out that he made a vow to move forward in Yahweh, and he backed away from Yahweh, and Yahweh clocked on him and been plaguing him from that day to this day, and he still ain't considered what's happened. And we look at him and say, you still don't know why this is happening to you? You can't make a vow to Yahweh then catch amnesia because something make your feelings hurt you. You won't wrong me. So now you gonna say that, well, I'm good. Well, if you good, that means our Romans chapter 7, verse 12 is wearing you like a pretty suit then, a garment. Let's see if when you hear somebody say, well, I'm good, we good already. That means you're going to separate yourself from the pack. So if you're good, that means Romans chapter 7, 12 is all on your garment. What does it say that we can read, Mother D.F. Israel? Romans chapter 7, verse number 12, what does it say?
Romans chapter 7, verse 12 reads, wherefore the law is righteous, and the law righteous and just and good.
So what's good, Mother D.F. Israel?
Torah instruction, first five books.
Excellent. So how you saying you good? Oh, we good. We good already. No, you're not good. You playing with yourself and everybody come in contact with you. Because when you made a vow in this right here, Yahweh going to collect. He going to collect. If you vow to Yahweh, he going to collect. Mm-hmm. Go to Matthew 19, chapter 19, 16, and 17. Let's see what we can read. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. What can we read out of that, Mother D.F. Israel?
Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh the Father. But if thou wilt enter unto life, keep the commandments.
So when somebody tell you you're good, that means you're doing what, Mother D.F. Israel? Now, if somebody say, okay, well, I'm good. Well, I'm going to class. You want to go to class? No, I'm good. Then, according to Matthew, what makes you good there, Mother D.F. Israel?
Torah instructions of Yahweh.
That's what makes you good. So you ain't good when you're not keeping Torah instructions. So that's just the bottom line. You ain't good, and you'll separate yourself from the six anointed camps so that the time will start ticking on you. You can't make a vow, and all of a sudden, now when your feeling is not working right, now you want to sit on the sideline and don't do Yahweh's business. Do you know Yahweh's going to collect? And the first one that he don't collect on, then you show him to me. He gonna collect. He might hit you in with your better half. He might even hit you in your body. He might hit you with you somewhere. Listen, when you in with Yahweh, you cannot back away from it. Let's get one more in at Mother D.F. Israel, and we see the young lion here. He took him a little nap, but now he ready to go. Now, I knew what he did. He said, look, old better half. We'll give me a little shed out here. Now, shed out, and now I'm going to get ready for the nice broadcast. So I was in that yard just running around doing my part in there. Mm-hmm. And old Sid was right there with me. When two come together in my name, I'm in the midst of it. But I'm going to sit in his chair and get me a little wink. And I'm going to be ready for the nice broadcast. So we know he got it. He got an extra wink in there. There's no doubt about it. But Mother D.F. Israel, what did he say that we're going to bring that young lion in? And the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 35 through 39. These are the ones that sits on the fence. They sits on the fence, and they only respond with some negativity. When things are running the right direction, they got nothing to say. But Yahweh got something for you to tell you something. In the 10th chapter, 35 through 39, Mother D.F. Israel, bring it. Come on.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. 38. Now the just shall live by the faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
But now, Mother, this Israel, now you dropped a bombshell at one of them verses there. You said it just got to live by what again? What that word it just got to live by again? Take a look at that word real carefully. You just dropped a bombshell about the just got to live by a certain word you just mentioned. So can you bring that up again for the national audience, how the just got to live?
Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. You say read it like it is. But if any man or woman draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, in them.
So the just gotta live by faith. Is that what you said, Mother D.F. Israel?
That's what
it
read.
That what you read?
Yeah.
That what it read? Now let's precept that to Galatians chapter. Let's precept that to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. So the just got to live by faith. I mean, the just got to live by faith. What that supposed to mean that we can read when we precept our Bible in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6? What that supposed to mean, our Mother D.F. Israel, C. Roy?
Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. That's what you say.
Make it verse 6.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. For in Yahweh the Son, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Wait a minute, Mother D.F. Israel. Faith works by what?
Love.
Ain't that something? You mean faith working by love?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 on the right side of the book? You mean faith working by love? What is it trying to tell me of? 1 John, on the right side of the book, chapter 4, verse 20. Can you help me out, Mother D.F. Israel? See, can we put a couple of verses with that? 1 John 4:20.
1 John, chapter 4, verse 20. If any man say, I love Yahweh and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love Yahweh whom he has not seen?
Yeah. So how you say you love from Yahweh and you hate your brother? Because every time those seer, we read a verse, and all of a sudden, I'm mad at those seer. Why you mad at those seer, Pop? Seer's job is to read a little of this book to get your attention. Huh? 1 John 5, pick up verse 2 down to verse number 7, and then we'll bring the young lion in. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 down to verse 7. You're back on the clock, Mother D of Israel. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 7. Come on.
1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 7. Verse 2 reads, by this we know that we love the children of Yahweh. When we love Yahweh and keep his commandments, verse 3, for this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcoming the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Yahweh the Son is the Son of Yahweh the Father. Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Yahweh the Son, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the righteous Spirit, and these three are one.
The Father, the Son, and the righteous Spirit, they are one. So how they want to be right? They all agree, and that same thing by Mother D.F. Israel, the mothers, the young line, they all are one. Six anointed counts, they are one. Because we all agree, and that makes us one. When you agree with the book, the scriptures, that make you one. When you understand that it takes, we understand it, and that's what's going on. We're getting calls, all that. Listen, if you can call the international lines and all that, you got to wait till the broadcast is over with. You know, so what we do, we bring our elder in, he'll tell you all about it. Making calls on the international line between the broadcasts, you're not going to get no answer. So you're not getting no answer by calling the international line why the broadcast is going on. And your question's got to be legit for one of the six anointed camps to receive what you're saying. And remember, you can't teach us. We are the teachers. The six anointed camps, we are the teachers. So don't call to come up with something unless you want help in the scriptures to be one accord with us. We can't, we're not going to be one accord with you. You got to be one accord with us. So we're going to bring the elder in. What you saying, WCC? Well, don't bring the elder in yet. We're going to mute him right now. We want you to get back to him. We're going to catch you in something. So you going to mute the elder by bringing him in now? Well, how about me bringing the young lion in now? Because he'll got out his compass seat. Now, he wide eyes and bushy tail, so he ready to go. So when you meet the young lion out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, Brother Micaiah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, young lion, roaring in the garden in grand style. Yahweh bid you see right.
Yahweh bless you, sir, Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah.
Well, like I said again there, young lion, we clear that that when you're doing Yahweh's business, two always have to be present and doing Yahweh's business. And that's just the way it is. I thought I got to pull a rabbit out of the head on that young lion. I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes, out of the regular book. I'm gonna see if I get a witness on that out of the regular book called Ecclesiastes. See, remember one thing. When you're doing Yahweh's business, two is how you kick it off. But three, you really working it. But never do this thing, Yahweh's business, without someone. Let's see if we can read. Go to the regular book called Ecclesiastes, young lion, and we'll pick it up at verse number 4, verse 9. Let's see if it's saying 4:9. We'll read down to verse number 13. Let's see what we can get out of this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 down to verse 13. What can we get out of it, young lion? You on the clock, come on.
Okay, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9, down to verse 13. Verse 9 reads, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he have not another to help him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevailed against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Verse 13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished.
You see the man saying, see, let you know, so when the young lion said, well, you know, see, I think I want to get out there, because I want to do it. I said, yeah, that sounds real good. But I didn't have no return phone call behind it. So I said, okay, the young lion want to get out in the garden and make some things happen. Okay, that's a good thing. But I see one thing, according to his Bible, that it got to be two, because if one fall, the other can pick him up. So, see, what you do, you put what you had to do to side. And always stay in the scriptures. So if you stay in the scriptures, that's how it's going to come out. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This ministry, you're not going to stop it. Either you get in where you fit in, or you're just going to get all left behind. Because it's going to pop all over. And you'll look up and see what we're saying, but you got to have the vision to see it. So that's what we're talking about. Now, So we found out in the book of Daniel already some good stuff about Mother Day of Israel. So that's a then one thing, if you miss beginning, or well, you can go back over there at 9, something like that, it'll tell you. But one thing about it, you got to keep up with this thing, because I'm telling you, this thing going to bust wide open. And those that got here to hear, we'll know about it. Now, we want to go to 2nd Ezra. Because the seal made some profound statements by the minister spirit was working with him, the old seal, Brother Mackay. And we want to see what we can get out of this by going to 2nd Ezra chapter 3, and we'll pick it up at verse number 2. And we'll read to get our point, because I'm looking for a takeoff word. So in 2nd Ezra chapter 3, verse 2, and let's keep reading till we get our takeoff word. Come on.
Okay, the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, picking up at verse 2. Verse 2 reads, for I saw the desolations of Yada and the wealth of them that dwelt at Babylon. Verse 3, and my spirit was sore moved, so that I began to speak words full of fear to the Most High Yahweh, and said, verse 4, O Yahweh, who bears rule, you speak at the beginning, when you did plant the earth, and that yourself alone, and commanded the people. Verse 5. And gave a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of your hand, and did breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made living before you. Verse 6. And you led him into paradise, which your right hand had planted before ever the earth came forth. Verse 7. And unto him you gave commandment to love your way, which he transgressed, and immediately you appointed death in him and in his generation, of whom came nations, tribes, people, and kindred out of number. Verse 8. And every people walked after their own will, and did wonderful things before you, and despised your Torah instruction. Verse 9.
Stop it down. So you're telling me, wait a minute, Dev, Brother Mackay. You said that Yahweh laid him well in verse 6. What did Yahweh lead him to in verse 6?
Okay. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and you leaded him into paradise with your right hand.
And you led him to paradise. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You led him to paradise. What are you trying to, what are you saying? Hold that point right there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. You said you led him to paradise. Then what is you trying to tell me where paradise is at? What is you trying to tell the Sixth Amendment camps about this paradise? We're going to Genesis chapter 2. There. Young lion, you led him to paradise. Let's see what we can get out of this in Genesis 2, verse number 6. Let's read a little bit till we get our point. Now, wait a minute. Now, keep that in mind. According to the ministering spirit told Ezra that he, Adam, by Yahuwah the Son, led him to paradise. That's big talk with hell. Now we gotta see some, we gotta paint this picture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll pick up verse 6 and we'll read down until we get our point. Revelation chapter, pick up verse 6. Young lion, you on the clock, come on.
Okay, you want Genesis chapter 2? Pick it up at verse 6.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And Yahuwah formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8. And Yahuwah planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made Yahuwah to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it was parted and became into four heads. Verse 11. The name of the first is Pison. That is, its which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Verse 12. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bezalel and Oxenstone. Verse 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Cush. Verse 14. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Verse 15. And Yahuwah took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16. And Yahuwah commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Verse 17. But the tree of knowledge
good
and evil.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Down to verse 16. Now read verse 15 again. One more time there, young lion. One more again. Read verse 15 and 16 again.
Mm-hmm. The book of Genesis, chapter 2. Verse 15 reads, and Yahuwah took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and Yahuwah commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat.
And go back to 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 6 again now, young lion.
Okay. Book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and you led him into paradise, which your right hand had planted before ever the earth came forth.
Wait a minute now, Brother Micaiah. You mean the Garden of Eden is interchangeable with the word called what?
The book of Sacanas, chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and you led him into paradise.
Ain't that something? You mean that paradise and the Garden of Eden, right with the location of the Bible, is just in another dimension, see, right? What Adam was led to was paradise. Paradise and the Garden of Eden is interchangeable. So when you see anybody going to paradise, all you saying, you're going to the Garden of Eden, where he placed the man. See, right? See, that's why we're here to paint the picture. For those of the six anointed counts, understand that we know what's going on. So paradise and the Garden of Eden is one of the same. So now when we read the word paradise, we can say the same thing, the Garden of Eden. And then we gave you the geographic location of the Garden of Eden. You gave it the four rivers, the name and everything else. So guess what? It's right there now. And I might not bring it out of this lesson tonight, but in the book of Enoch, it talks about that he got 300 angels right there now, sweeping the thing, keeping it real good, but in another dimension. Right there in the book of Enoch, we're going to read it maybe in tomorrow's lesson. He got 300 angels right now is saying they in paradise. But see, Christianity and that one-eyed Satan, Christianite, you thinking that's the paradise is up and away. The paradise in the Garden of Eden is one of the same. And we just proved that by going to 2 Ezra, chapter 3, verse 6, tying it in with Genesis 2, 15 and 16. See, sooner or later you're gonna recognize the signs of the time. And then you're gonna get in where you fit in at. And on that note, we're going to bring our elder in because he out of the big dignitary meeting, so now he's ready to address this national audience. I'm going to bring our elder in, and he'll tell you all about who bring this broadcast and whatever good report that he got to say for the six anointed camps. We're going to bring our elder in. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be with you there, see you right here.
And Yahweh bless you, serious brother, see you well. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, we got everything all warmed up, get it all warmed up, but we ain't gave no announcement there, Elder Mr. Tibbs. So whatever you want to address this national audience in, and we all ears, you on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. It's a privilege to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh and to receive our word from the voices of the true Israelites. You're right, I have been busy out there stretching out my arms, trying to help and spread this word. But in spreading that word, you do have to be careful, because you do run into the adversary. As I have told certain members, even in our temple before, the adversary is more versed in his deception than you are in righteousness. That's why they always have spurious comebacks and many words and loud bump the gums, as we talk about in our ministry. So it tells us in the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. 5 says, do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the unyakwali. Hold back thy bread and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster thee thereby, for else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou shalt have done unto him. 6. For the Most High hateth transgressors or sinners, and will repay vengeance unto the unyakwali and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment. So when you reach your hand out to help someone, You have to make sure that that help does not go to someone that does not appreciate the word of Yahuwah. You see that spanking is twice fold for you or me or whoever that does that. I even had to take a Bible back out of somebody's hands that I had blessed them with. Sure enough, I did mention that to someone. I took the Bible back from them. I gave it to them and took it back because I did not want them to blaspheme the words of Yahuwah. That's how serious this stuff is today. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching in Christianity. And loud bump the guns. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. Just like most have said, how can you guys get this much out of this one book? Once again, it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahuwah. Your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and we do all this because you have not. This is information you came to seek, and you have to look no further now. You found that in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right in our search line, enter tribeyada.com. And right under this big liner, you're going to see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offers, click PayPal, and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offers, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. And once again, mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also for building a school, as you can see from our announcement, is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That calendar we have will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. You'll find this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, and after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered and related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is 319-527-6065. This is our live conference room number. The other number is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. So in saying that, please do not call this line trying to teach. I have to emphasize that. Do not try to teach. You will not receive a response. Remember the verse in Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6. It says, be at peace with many, nevertheless, but have one counselor over 1,000. An example I had given before, look at 3 cooks trying to make 1 cake. When they're done, I don't know what they might come out with, what they have made. So you can also, by calling this number, inquire about the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact this year, your email, phone, or text, before broadcast or afterwards. You'll find the Seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, a New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, and now, even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back if you're not trying to teach. Also, any of the temple members that are doing scripture texts, remember, it should be a phone call to rehearse the righteous act. An ounce is given with a verbal precept, as the seer says, remembering that we are the children of Yahuwah, the blessed peacemakers, as said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 9. I think some might need to write that down. We are the blessed peacemakers. That's a good verse right there. I better take note of that again myself. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter 3 words to do this, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Board Talk broadcast, you'll find Yahuwah's story will continue on Pal Talk. We are simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk and Broad Talk. On Pal Talk, we'll be listed under the ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. And you'll find this is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel riding as Shotgun. And during this time, we'll take no comments off topics or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the Broad Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But one thing we should remember, when we are given scriptures to speak by the seer, remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak. So the words of Yahuwah always flow smoothly, remembering that we are online with hundreds of thousands of listeners that want to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. So we can start to listen to these words once again and continue with our program. I will pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah. Yahuwah.
All right. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Yeah, that's excellent again. Look at the Latter-day Saints saying. Here, it is over 400,000 because of our presence. Don't forget it. Well, we know Latter-day Saints. We know you as WCC. I'm stacked to deck. But one thing about it, there's no accident. So, we know your hand is in the numbers, no doubt about it. All right, let's get back to the broadcast. Because, you know, you remind me of a member in one of the 6 anointed camps. They always got to get in there. You remind me of them. I got to bring something in, one of the 6 anointed camps. See, this is time now to be big ears and little mouths and catch all this good information that is bringing to you now by the Spirit of Yahuwah. Come say something. It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you in advance. You got to have the ear to ear. Now, let's get back to this broadcast because Young Lion dropped a devastating statement on the table, and I won't venture that, but Mother D.F. Israel had me Luke 23:37-43 waiting on me. We'll be there in a few more minutes. But the Young Lion dropped a devastating statement on in Genesis chapter 2. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look right back at it, Young Lion, verse 13. Now, I want to look at verse 7 and 13. Listen real good in 7 and 13. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 13. Young Lion, you're back on the clock. Come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 13. Verse 7 reads, "And the Yahuwah formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 13.
Hold that point. I stick verse 8 in there because you don't come now, Young Lion. So you might as well stick 8 in there to make it sound good. Verse 8, 7 and 8, and 13.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, pick it up now, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, "And Yahuwah planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 13, "And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Cush."
That's big talk with that. Now, you know, see, now that's great big tall talking. So, you know, they have, they talked about this building a third temple on that 36 acres of granite rock. Now, we find out that Gihon is connected around the rivers that we read Hedekim and the Euphrates. We read to give you an idea what a garden Havilah. So we read what a garden of Eden is at, with another name for the garden of Eden is paradise. So in the book, you know, I wanted y'all to bring this out. Well, you know. So we're going to give you an idea of something. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to 1 Kings chapter. Let's go to, I'll tell you what, hold up 1 Kings chapter 8. We ain't going to give you too much of this good stuff right here. We go to 1 Samuel. Samuel, make a 2 Samuel there. Now, if you hold what you got, you're gonna learn something out of take number 116, and then you will not be where you always thinking one thing through Christianity and that kryptonite one eye fake. You're going to be thinking like that when you understand what we get ready to bring out. 2 Samuel 5, verse 7 through 9 says what? And verse number 30. What it say?
Okay. The book of 2 Samuel 5, verse 7 through 9 and verse 30. Verse 7 reads, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David." Verse 8. "And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusite, and the lame, and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief in captive. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame should not come into the house." Verse 9. "So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward." Verse 30. Hold on, did you say, what verse you say you wanted? I missed that one.
Verse 30.
Second Samuel. Chapter 5. We go to, you sure it's 30 we looking for? Ain't no 30 right here, so I'm missing, unless I'm missing something. Yeah.
I live in Clarendon.
Okay. Still. Mother D, you sit up?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Well, I think something went wrong, probably still Mike.
Yeah.
We're gonna just try to keep it going. You see that was which direction it was going and let him come back to that. We're going to keep the show going until the spirit come back. We're going to try to add something to that while he, until we find out what's going on. So, the book of Sirach, right? Chapter 21, verse. Matter of fact, let me get to Luke 12, Mother D, if you don't mind. So we can let this right spirit do what to do so we see what's going on with the spirit right now. Probably something going on with his mic.
Okay.
So we're going to find out. But let's kick it off at Ecclesiastes. Not Ecclesiastes. The book of Sirach, chapter 21, verse 15.
I thought you said Luke chapter 12.
Oh, yeah. After we get some Luke going on. Yeah, let's get some Luke 12, 12. Yeah, I got to get some Luke 12, 12 going on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12, read. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Hallelujah. Wow. And we at BOTTY, we believe that at BOTTY that the righteous spirit teach you at the same hour what you ought to say, right?
Okay.
So, until the city get ready to find out what's going on with it, probably WCC got something going on with his mic. You know, they be on our tails anyway. So we're going to go to Sirach chapter 21, Mother D, and we're going to read verse 15 while I get all warmed up. We can see what we have going on over there.
Sirach chapter 21?
Yes, ma'am. Verse 15.
Sirach chapter 21, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
If a skillful man hear a wise word, he will commit it and add unto it. But as soon as one of no understanding hears it, it pleases him, and he casts it behind his back.
Hallelujah.
Wow, we know what's going on.
Add on, you if you hear something, you say from a wise man, you add on to it. So I'm gonna see what I can do about adding on to something. Just get a precept going on and see can I pull something out. In the book of Judah, right? Let's go back to that book of Judah. Go to that book of Judah. There's something that was stated in there. And let's see what they said in the book of Judah.
I'm back there, young man. The latter day saints cut me off to tell them don't go too much in that you give them too much. They don't need to know all that, so they have to cut me off and let me know that I can't give them that kind of information. But I tell you what, let's see if we go another way at this thing, then. But like I said, again, but that's a great thing. Be prepared to, if I'm cut off, then you just continue, and that's the way it is. The box can't help it lit. The curtains have went up. Because, you know, one thing about it, you know, they got this 36 acres of granite rock, and they swear that is Southern Kingdom. It might be part of Southern Kingdom, but that was Solomon. David and Solomon had that part of that 36 acre rock. They had that part as a for their horse stable. Because one thing about horses, they take a crap real big, and so he had them their horses over there in that 36 acres of granite rock. We'll get a little bit in on what we said, and let's come around another way. Take it another way there. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32, and we'll look at 2 down to verse 5 and verse 30. We'll go another way at it, young lion. But remember what you read in verse 2, 15, and 16. Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, and the garden was around Gion. That's the key word. Write that word down, Gion. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 32, verse 2 down to verse 5 and verse 30. Which is
okay.
WCC. Seer, we're about to cut you off again. Well, what can I say? I mean, you know, cut me off. 2 Chronicles 32, 2 down to verse 5 and 30 says what?
Okay. 2 Chronicles.
Second Chronicles chapter 32, verse 2 down to verse 5 and 30.
And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was proposed to fight against Yada, verse 3, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the war of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. Verse 4, so there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains in the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much war? Verse 5, also he strengthened himself and built up all the walls that was broken and raised it up to the tower and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made dark in shield and a bond. Verse 30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gion and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered all his work.
Hezekiah was at the temple of Yahweh. So he's saying that the temple of Yahweh, you can find it more closer to Gion than you can find to that 36 acres of granite rock. So you see, that 36 acres of granite rock that you got the temple built on to David, according to Hezekiah, the temple is closer to Gion where the river flowed through, because remember, they had to do a lot of sacrificing. So they got to have a river to run straight through before they could do all the sacrifice. They had to keep clean, sacrifice a lot of animals, and need a lot of water. And what more water it is than Gion, the Gion River. So the Gion River was closer to the temple of Yahweh than that 36 acres of granite rock. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32 there. Now, you read 32 already. Let's go to 33 and look at verse 14. See, sometimes you be on your way on something, and Yahweh be want to let you know some things on the way out. That's why you stay in the spirit of Yahweh. So now we find out by him placing the man, he placed the man around Gion and around them four great rivers. But we find out now the temple was around the four great rivers. You got man-made ducts to get the water to where you at now, them 36 acres of granite rock. But see, there go the temple. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 14.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, picking it up at verse 14. Verse 14 reads, now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gion in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about...
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something? You mean the wall was connected in where Gion Spring at? You mean the temple went that direction? Yes, see, are you? The wall, the west side wall, you can look right down into the Gion Spring. That's how big this temple were. That you can look right down into the Gion. So you go on your map, your Google map, and you pull up the Gion Spring, and then you got to imagine in your mind that the west side of the temple of Yahweh was hook, line, and sinker with Gion Spring. And you go look at that dump site over there, that 36 acres of granite rock down in a hole that you have to import trees in and fake like that this is the real deal, where the Arabs got a dome of the rock built on top of a rock, and they were fighting for something that ain't got nothing to do with the children of Israel. That area was a dump site for David and Solomon's horses. That 36 acres of granite rock. The temple, the west side of the temple was connected with the Gion Spring. So you sure you're going to continue spending your money for that was not buried? Now let's read that mother dear of Israel. Let's go to 55th chapter, verse 1 of Isaiah. Let's read what he tells you got to do. We're going to Isaiah 55, pick up verse 1. So you see, you learn something on the way of learning something with the six anointed camps. So you those that got a trip to Jerusalem down in that low sea level. Low sea level. And when we read Isaiah 2, the temple of Yahweh would be up on top of the mountain, not below the mountain. Below the mountain is where they're going to always have their horses and everything else to take a dump at. That place is a dump site for David and Solomon's horses. Because in Isaiah chapter 2, he says Yahweh's house would be built upon a high mountain, not the low mountain where you can ride right over because it's down there in a valley. See, Roy, it ain't looking at enough. See, Christianity is kryptonite. And that's one I've seen all tied in. So that's why you got to really understand this ministry here is to pray those that got ear to hear. So those that make vacations to go in and put your little message into that rock, you're always from the temple of Yahweh. Because it's the city of David going back towards the Gion, back that direction. That's how far it went back. It went back. I'll leave that alone. Now, what we're getting ready to read again?
Isaiah 55.
Yes, ma'am. Figure verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Go ahead. Read on down. Read on down.
Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear.
I tell you what, stay on down to verse 8. Straight down to verse 8.
Incline your ears and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nation that knowest not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh, your Yahweh, and for the righteous one of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Yahweh, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh.
I'll read verse 4 and 5. What's the rules and regulations in verse 4 and 5?
Isaiah 55, verse 4 and 5. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nation that knowest not thee shall run unto thee.
So you said, now I've gave you a leader. He gonna call a nation that is not that. They don't have no knowledge in themselves. See, they, you know, you gonna sit out there and they gonna say, excuse me, what's your nationality? Oh, I'm an African American Negro and I'm colored and I'm super cool. So it's going to be a leader that set up something, and it's going to be implemented starting next week. And you can just ask them a question, you know, and, you know, it's already went out to the elder. The elder said, well, you know, ain't no problem. We'll get over there. We'll make sure got a little microphone, and we sit back and read back, and just talk softly in the microphone. Ask a question. Hey, excuse me. Where that boy's coming from? Come from over here. Do you read the Bible? Yeah, sometimes. What's your nationality? You know, be nice and cool. What's your nationality? I'm black. Okay. Is black in the Bible? Huh? It's black in the Bible. What are you saying? Then all of a sudden, see, with a nice voice, see, and see, that's how it's going to be. We're on the roll of no return. That's how it's going to be. With a nice voice. Nothing out of hollering. Just right by, hey, excuse me. You got a minute? Oh, yeah, what is it? Well, you read the Bible? Yeah, yeah. Okay. See? That's how we're going to do it. See, because it tells you how it's going to happen here in verse 4 and 5. And Mother D of Israel, I precept that to the book of Isaiah. Oh, we already in Isaiah, right? Okay. We already in Isaiah. So we got a precept to Isaiah about 30. We got to get a precept out of there, Mother D of Israel. Because, see, if you sitting there smooth, you know, sitting there smooth reading the Bible, you know, microphone is sounding real good. And the elder make sure, he said, don't worry about that. If the sound will be real good, ain't no problem about that. And that's what I do. Okay. All right. So the third chapter, as we sit back and get this massive attack ready on the known world, and Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. Can you help me out there, my DF Israel? What it said we can read in Numbers 30? I mean, in Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. What it said we can read?
Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. And it reads, And though Yahweh giveth you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more. About thine eyes shall see thou teacher. 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left.
Hallelujah. Well, so, you know, I was
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think I'm back on airways.
Okay.
Well, one thing I can say. Read the verse again, there, Mother D of Israel. Verse number 21.
Verse 21.
Verse 21.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. Every time I read it.
Yeah, we have some technical difficulties right now. You know, WCC always doing their thing, so we can always just try to keep the ball game rolling, some form of fast. We don't know how long it's gonna take. He'll pop in on his Mother D. So since we're talking about the seal, let's see what the sis' job is. Let's see what the sis' job is, Mother D, over there. Pick it up at, first, we're going to go to Samuel. We'll go to 1 Samuel. We're going to pick it up at chapter 9. And pick it up at verse 27.
Okay.
But, you know, we just want to let everybody know we got sis, Red, C, Roy, and, you're going to find out what the sis job is. No. But before we find out what the sis job is, you go stay in that same chapter, 1 Samuel, Mother D. And we're going to go to chapter 9. We're going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
after that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black messiah unless we create him.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I keep telling you, those that got here to hear, Voices Over Truth is like, it's going to be a load, but what we got to do is just remember what Yahweh got written. So, actually, Brother Micaiah, and that's exactly when I am interrupted by the big dignitary, just pick it up and just keep it moving. That's the way it is. I mean, that's how I got to be until we get our own land, school, banquet hall, ready to go. See? So, hey, that's the way it's going to be. But we got to have the right spirit and continue moving because this word is a load.
Mm-hmm.
We left off on, read that verse again, verse number 20, 31. Read that verse.
Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 21.
Yeah, what does it say?
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this mm-hmm. is the way, walk you in it. When mm-hmm. you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
That's exactly what will happen. See, when the young lion is going to, you know, he's going to be ran back with the right spirit. And according to our elder, he said, make sure that everything will be nice and smooth. He's just going to give him the microphone and just roll out of voice there. Hey, excuse me, sir. Huh? Where are voice coming from? Oh, over here. Oh, over here. Yeah, you talk real nice. You read the Bible? Oh, yeah, I read the Bible. What's your nationality upon this Bible? You know, nice, smooth voice. I'm a Gentile. Oh, you're a Gentile? Okay. We'll take it from there, see that? So that's how it's going to happen. We tell you up front how it's going to happen. It's just we got to be in order and know one thing. The foxtail have been lit, the curtain have went up, and nothing to do now but go forward and thus says Yahweh. And that's the way it is. So now, so we found out one thing, that the garden, the temple of Yahweh is more close to the Gion than that granite rock that you gonna put up, according to scripture. Now, Mother B.F. Israel, you got me some Luke chapter 23, verse 37 to 43, and Brother Micaiah have me something out of Nicodemus chapter 14, 1 through 9, waiting on me. I want to take a look at something in Nicodemus chapter 14, 1 through 9, after Mother B.F. Israel look at Luke chapter 37 and 43, and then we'll bring our elder back in again for his closing remarks, take number 116. Let's see what we can read.
Luke chapter 23?
Yeah, 23. Pick it up at verse 37 to 43. Yeah, pick it up right there. You're on. Come
okay.
On.
Luke chapter 23, verse 37 to 43. Verse 37. And saying, if thou be the king of Yahdah, save yourself. 38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of the Greek and Latin and Israel, the king of Yahdah Judah, 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Yahweh the Son, save yourself and us. Verse 40. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear Yahweh, seeing thou art in the same condition? Verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. 42. And he said unto Yahweh the Son, remember me
when thou comest into your kingdom. 43. And Yahuwah the Son said unto him, truly I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise.
What? Today you'll be with me where?
In paradise.
Wait a minute. Paradise in the Garden of Eden is one of the same. So now, Christianity got paradise is up and away. But we found out that paradise in the Garden of Eden is one and the same. So you see how you can learn something on the way of learning something? So if you find out that that's wrong, if the up and away story is not right, then what else ain't right? You can look at Nicodemus chapter 14, 1 through 9 there, young lion. Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9. Help me out there, young lion. Come on.
Okay, going to the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, picking up at verses 1 through 9. Verse 1 reads, now a certain priest named Phinehas and Abiathar, a teacher in Agias, a Levite, came down from Galilee unto Jerusalem and told the rulers of the temple and the priests and the Levites, saying, we saw Yahuwah the Son and his followers sitting upon the mountain, which is called Mamaka. And he said unto his followers, go into all the world and teach unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that disbelieves should be condemned. And these signs shall follow upon them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And while Yahuwah the Son yet spake unto his followers, we saw him taken up into heaven. Verse 2. The priest Levi said, give honor to Yahuwah of Israel and make confession unto him. Did you indeed hear and see those things which you have told us? They that told them say, as Yahuwah of our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel lived, we did hear these things and we saw them. And we saw him taken up into heaven. The elders, the priest Levi, say unto them, came you from this end that you might tell us, or came you to pay our vows unto Yahuwah? And they say, to pay our vows unto Yahuwah. The elders and the chief priests and the Levites say unto them, if you came to pay your vows unto Yahuwah, to what purpose is this idle tale which you have babbled before all the people? Phinehas, the priest, and Adam, the teacher, and Agnes, the Levite, say unto the rulers of the temple and priest Levite, if these words which you have spoken and seen be seen, lo, we are before you. Do unto us seem good in your eyes. And they took the book of the Torah instructions and adjured them, and they should no more tell any man these words. And they gave them to eat and to drink and put them out of the city. Moreover, they gave them money and three men to go with them. And they set them on their way. And they set them on their way as far as Galilee. And they departed in peace. Verse 3. Now, when these men were departed into Galilee.
Hold on there, young lion. Now, I thought the story sound real good. But are you directly at the 14th chapter of Nicodemus? It sounds good. But are you looking at the 14th chapter?
I'm looking at 14. But matter of fact, I'm looking at 14, but it only goes to 3. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot.
Well, I
tell you what, since that ain't lined up with what I'm on, I put that to the side. I come back with that Nicodemus 14:1-9 because it gonna make a statement pertaining to something else. We'll come back with that later. Cause we want to see the return of Yahuwah the Son coming down to wake somebody up. So we'll leave that right there and we'll get back. That might be 13 when Yahuwah the Son come down and he gonna wake somebody up and gonna take them somewhere. But we'll leave that on the table to tomorrow night about him coming down and waking somebody up and taking them somewhere. We'll leave that right on the table to tomorrow. Let's go to Adam and Eve 42:1-7. We'll see if we get it another way. Let's go to the book of Adam and Eve, chapter 42:1-7. We'll come back with Nicodemus, because we got to build Nicodemus up anyway for the national audience by coming out of St. John chapter 3 down to verse 10. We gotta set the stage on Nicodemus anyway for this national view to be clear that Nicodemus was taught by Yahuwah the Son. But let's go to Adam and Eve, first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 42:1-7. What it say?
Okay. First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 42, verses 1-7. Verse 1 reads, "Then came the word of Yahuwah to Adam and said unto him, 2, O Adam, as to what you say, bring me into a land where there is rest. It is not another land than this, but it is the kingdom of heaven, where alone there is rest. Verse 3, but you cannot make you entrance into it at present, but only after your judgment is passed and fulfilled. Verse 4, then will I make you go up into the kingdom of heaven, you and your righteous seed, and I will give you in them the rest you ask for at present. Verse 5, and if you said, give me of the water of life that I may drink and live, it cannot be this day, but on the day that I shall descend into hell and break the gates of brass and bruise in pieces the kingdoms of iron. Verse 6, then will I in mercy save your soul and the souls of the righteous to give them rest in my garden, and that shall be when the end of the world is come. Verse 7, and again, as regards the water of life you seek, it will not be granted you this day, but on the day that I shall shed my blood upon your head in the land of Golgotha.
Yeah, see, right? Today is a death. So, you know, Adam was going to go back into the Garden of Yahuwah. When the Garden of Yahuwah is, see, Adam didn't want to go up in the way neither. See, that's Christianity. That's that is kryptonite to you. Adam didn't want to go that way. That's one of Nicodemus chapter 20. Then you get Nicodemus 20 there. We'll go at it another way. Because Nicodemus, Mother D of Israel, and Nicodemus 3:10, then we'll get Nicodemus chapter 25-18. We'll bring our elder in for his closing remarks. We'll do that because we'll do it that way. We'll do it that way, Mother G of Israel. St. John.
I don't have.
You got the rest of the book of St. John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got St. John, the four Gospels of St. John, Mark, mm-hmm. Luke, and John.
Sia, you say St. John chapter 3?
Yeah, 3. Think of verse 3 down to verse 10. Don't expose your hand to this national audience what you don't have, Mother D.F. Israel.
Remember, you got over 40,000 plus, so we're going to always make sure you're skinning and grinning and shining the right way. Let's go to St. John chapter 3, out of the regular book, 3 down to verse 10.
St. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 10. Verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Yahweh the Son answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Verse 10, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?
He said, you mean you a leader? And a leader in God, you don't know these things? So then that's when Nicodemus, he started doing a little teaching to Nicodemus. See, you can't be in the sixth anointed camp as leader and you don't know these things. Spirit ain't right. It's not going to work because you're going to be exposed when the heat is turned up. You know, so our job is to expose who's going to be about this man's business and who not. That's our job, is to see who's going to be ready. Now, I want to back away from that Nicodemus for a minute for time's sake. Yeah. I'll come back at that tomorrow. But, Brother Makai, go to the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 14. We'll look at 1 down to verse 5. We'll come back at that because we see now this is going to get real good and time's going to run out. And the WCC and the Latter-day Saints and the Roman Catholic Church out there in New York, they definitely is hounding down on me with the panic button. So let's look at the book called Adam and Eve, Young Lion. And we'll look at the 14th chapter, 1 down to
3. After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black messiah unless we create him.
In the book of Adam and Eve, chapter 14, 1 through 5, take your time there, young lion. See if we can get out of this book, our first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 14, 1 through 5. You on the clock, come on.
Okay. The book of First Adam and Eve, chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, then Adam said unto Yahweh, O Yahweh, take you my soul, and let me not see this gloom anymore. Or remove me to some place where there is no darkness. Verse 2. But Yahweh said to Adam, verily I say unto you, this darkness will pass from you. Every day I have determined for you until the fulfillment of my covenant, when I will save you and bring you back again into the garden, into the abode of light you longest for. wherein is no darkness. I would bring you to it in the kingdom of heaven.
Hold on, young man. Wait a minute. What's another name for the garden?
The kingdom of heaven.
What's another name for the kingdom of heaven?
The garden.
Paradise. Excellent, Mother D of Israel. Excellent. You mean paradise, the kingdom of heaven, and the garden of Edom, whatever it is. All that one of the same. Yes, Israel. Yes. The garden of Eden, paradise, the kingdom of heaven. It's all right there next to, connected to the Gion Spring. Ain't that scoundrel? Yes, he's right. All that Christianity up and away, that is adopting from Satan the devil. Everything is right here, and if you get to the Gion, you're made to the kingdom of heaven. Ain't that something? All right. So now, since we got out, let's bring our elder and get his closing remarks for tape number 116. You know, and one thing about it, C-Roy, I'm going to tell you, if you miss the class, you miss a lot, because you're going to find out a lot of information, and you have to be as deliberative when you live sitting at that microphone. You have to have all these ready here prepared for wherever they want to go, especially with the up and away teaching from Satan the devil. No, if you get to the Gion, that's as close as you don't get to the Garden of Eden by getting to the Gion. Yeah, bottom line. Elder Mr. Tibbs, take your time and bring your closing remarks on tape 116. Come on. Here, we got to mute somebody. Why not Mr. Tibbs? Well, what can I say? All right, so Mr. Tibbs, your closing thoughts, we know it's all about Yahweh's business, and we know clearly that when the young lion rev at, he all he gotta do is talk real smooth in the microphone, and then when your boy saying, huh, you talking to me? Out of the microphone, yeah, we talking to you. What's your name? Huh? Where you coming from, space? No, I'm over here. Oh, what them royal blue garments on with them fringes on? Oh, well, this is what Yahweh say when two come together with them royal blue garments on and fringes on. He in the midst of this. Well, I got the kind of suit I got on. Oh, that's a gay suit you got on in the Book of James. That's a gay suit you got on.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm gonna tell you something. This thing gonna go more ways than you can think about it. But one thing about it, we know one thing: we on a roll of no return. So we on a roll of no return. So we'll back away from that. And Mother D of Israel, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, 18, and 20. Let's see what we can read. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, 18, and 20. Mother D.F. Israel, you're on the clock. Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14,
verse 18 and 20.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, 18, and 20. Verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says Yahweh. Verse 18. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they only shall be delivered themselves. verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall deliver.
All you can deliver is yourself. So keep that in your mind. You can't be wrapping around. Understand one thing. Whether your better half or your kin folks or whatever, all you can do is point them away, but you can't deliver them. You can show them the way to go through your life.
Mm.
But you can't deliver them where they come or not. All you can deliver is yourself. But your job is to, Mother G of Israel, Matthew chapter 5, 13 down to verse 16. But understand something that you got to understand your position. See, it's nothing to argue about because I can't deliver you anyway, but I can point you to the right direction. It's up to you. You know, but Job was in the garden of Yahweh. The three men, Noah was in the garden of Yahweh. And Daniel was in the garden of Yahweh. You see, although them three men was in it, but they can't get you there. All we can do is show you that they is once there, and we'll show you later on that they're there now. But that's okay. Can't do it all in one setting, but we're going to bring it all out. You got to have a ear to hear, you hear? So what's the reading that Mother D of Israel?
Matthew chapter 5. Can you repeat the verses?
Well, I forgot about it. I forgot about what I said in
Matthew
chapter 5.
You said something about 16. Something.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 12.
Once I've been to put it out there, Mother D of Israel. What I say online about Matthew 5?
Matthew 5, 17 on down.
17 on down? To what?
I think it's to 19. I call 17.
All right, Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the seer. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
But hold that up, mother. Hey, mother, hold that up. Hold that up. That sounds pretty good, but we'll go in another way. Whatever I did say, you know, got past me. But one thing I will say, let's go to the 11th chapter. Can we find out that the kingdom of Yahweh, the Garden of Eden, and we find out that the paradise is all interchangeable. And we know it's close to the Gihon Spring, where all this good stuff going to be. It'll be close to the Gihon Spring. Let's back up to Matthew chapter 11, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's come another way. And we'll pick it up at 11, verse number 11. Matthew 11, 11. Down to verse 12. 11, 11 and verse 12. What does it say? Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. What does it say?
Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Truly I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is last in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violence taketh it by force.
Oh, the kingdom of heaven was suffered by violence, and violence took it by force. Well, when that happened, when was the kingdom of heaven taken by violence in 21, 19 to 24, Mother D.F. Israel? You mean the kingdom of heaven. You mean the Garden of Eden. You mean paradise was taken by violence, by force, and violence taking it? What can we read that happened? And we go on to the 21st chapter of Luke and pick it up in verse 19. Folks, let's find out when that happened, and then hit me with 1 verse 6, and then we'll be back to the young line. 1 verse 6 of Acts. Kind of bear with me there, Mother D.F. Israel, because fear the Yahweh is upon the spirit to deliver, but coming another way. So be like the elder say, make sure you be listening real carefully and writing it down. Because if we don't know what we're saying, that's going to be writing down as fast as you be writing down. But right now, whatever I have said, you on the clock, come on.
You said Luke chapter 24. Verses 19.
No, Luke 21. Luke 21, 19 down to verse 24. Back there with Acts 1, verse 6.
Okay. Luke 21, verses 19 to 24.
Yes.
Luke 21, verse 19 to 24, verse 19. In your patience possess you your soul. 20. And when you shall see Yahweh the Son come past with, when you shall see Yahweh Judah come past with army, then know that the desolation thereof is near. 21. Then let them which are in Judea, Yada, flee to the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein unto. 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all thine which are written may be fulfilled. 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Yahweh Jews shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
And Peter asked the question in 1 verse 6 there, Mother dear of Israel. What did Peter ask Yahweh the Son eyeball to eyeball before he was taken up? What did he say in Luke 1 6?
Oh, Luke 1 6. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 6. Okay. Come on, baby. Luke chapter 1.
Acts chapter 1, verse 6.
Right. I thought that. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, read. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, willest thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
And what's another name for the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. The God, paradise. All that thing you right here, you just identify exactly what everything that Peter asked, are you going to deliver us the kingdom? The kingdom of who? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of who? The kingdom of Yahweh. What is that? Paradise. Paradise. The kingdom of heaven. Next to the Gion. All that we're going to find out, daddy is at that sea right here.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go to 2 Israel, young lion. We're going to be going to 2 Israel for time's sake in chapter 7. And we'll pick it up at verse 6 before we skip down a little bit. But let's get it started in 2 Israel 7 and pick it up at verse 6. So you see what you're going to find out on the way to find out something, that the kingdom, Peter asked about it over 2,000 years ago. He was going to see what you restore the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yahweh, the Garden of Eden, paradise. He said, no, I can't do it right now because if I store it right now, then it won't be no need for those seers to come and start connecting the books. So now we got to wait a little while because he got to get on that microphone with the young lions and say, excuse me, ma'am, Yahweh be with you. Did you just curse me out? No, I didn't curse you out. Read this pamphlet right here. Whenever you see the word Lord God and Jesus in the written tongue, it's YHW. Oh, I thought you cursed me out. See?
Mm.
That's a job ahead of us. You got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. Because you might say, oh, I got Jesus all on my mind. Sweet Jesus all on my mind. See? Then you see what you get. 2 Ezra. Chapter 7, verse 6 is real a little bit to get our point. Come on.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, picking up at verse 6, reading down. Verse 6 reads, there is also another thing. A city is built and set upon a broad field, and it is full of all good things. Verse 7. The entrance thereof is narrow, and is set in a dangerous place to fall, like as if there were a fire on the right hand and on the left a deep water. Verse 8. And one only path between them both, even between the fire and the water. So shall that there could but one man go there at once. Verse 9. If this city now were given unto a man for an inheritance, if he never shall pass the danger set before it, how shall he receive this inheritance?
Mm.
Verse 10. And I said, it is so, Yahweh. Then said he unto me, even so also is Israel's portion. Verse 11. Because for their sake I made the world. And when Adam transgressed my Torah instructions, then was decreed that now is done. Verse 12. Then were the entrance of this world made narrow, full of sorrow and travail. They are but few and evil, full of perils and very painful. Verse 13. For the entrance of the elder world were wide and sure, and brought immortal fruit. These straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them. Verse 15. Now, therefore, why disquiet you yourself? Then you are but a corruptible man, and why are you moved, whereas you are but mortal? Verse 16. Why had you not considered in your mind this thing that is to come, rather than that which is present? 17. Then after I said, O Yahweh, that bearest rule, you have ordained your Torah instructions, that the righteous should inherit these things, but that the unYahwali should perish. Verse 18. Nevertheless,
The righteous shall suffer straight things and hope for wise. For they that have done wickedly have suffered the straight thing, and yet shall not see the wise. Verse 19. And he said unto me, there is no judge above Yahuwah, and none that have understanding above the highest Yahuwah. Verse 20.
Good. Read verse 17, 18 again there, young lion. Read verse 13, 14, 17, and 18. Read verse 13, 14, 17, 18. One more again there, young lion. 13,
okay.
14, 17, and 18. One more time. Come on.
Okay. The book of Second Exodus. Picking it back up at verse chapter 7, verse 13, 14, 17, and 18. Verse 13 reads, for the entrance of the elder world were wide and short, and bought and mortal fruit. Verse 14. If then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them. Verse 17.
Hold that point. Read verse 14 again. Hey, mother dear of Israel, help me. Micah chapter 4, verse 10. Micah chapter 4, verse 10, mother dear of Israel. Read verse 14 again.
Okay. The book of Second Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. 14 reads, if then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them.
Read that again. I'm going to try to be quiet. Read one more time, verse 14.
Okay. The book of Second Exodus, chapter 7, verse 14. 14 reads, if then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them.
Ain't that something? So if you don't label for this right here, you're not going to get into this. Do you think you can sit there behind the curtain and read your Bible and think you, no. You got to label to get into this right here. He says, what he got for you, you know, we read it last night, lesson, eyes have not seen, and all that good stuff. As a matter of fact, we might read that and make a detour on that and read a little bit of that. Eyes they have not seen in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, brother Micaiah, 2, verse 9, and he precept that from Isaiah 64, verse 4, back to back. So he's saying, listen, to get in this kingdom, you ain't getting in unless you labor for it. And we know if you're laboring for it, because you'll be spotted up among one of the six anointed camps of bosses of two is right. So you're not getting in by not laboring. There it is right there, verse 14. Now Ezra pulled that from Micah 4, verse 10. What he said, if we can read, Mother D of Israel, Micah chapter 4, verse 10.
Micah chapter 4, verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughters of Yagda, like a woman in travail, for now shall thou go forth out of the city, thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shall thou be delivered. There Yahuwah shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemy.
Ain't that something? You mean we're going to be in Babylon? That's called the new Babylon, America. The America. All the other nations you're going to be in. But there he's going to be delivered. He's going to deliver you there, because he's going to send the message to you from voices of his Israelites, the six anointed camp. And then, Mother D of Israel, in 24, 13, and 14 of Matthew,
Now we can bring that in 24:13-14 of Matthew.
Okay. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 14. And it reads, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, Israel, and then shall the end come."
Ain't that something? So you see what we got to do. So that's why it's no accident what we doing and getting ready to do out of the Cincinnati camp. So you see, this is what we got to do. This is what we got to do that we can read. This teaching got to be taught about the kingdom. And then the end going to be, we going to be the one to activate the end by doing what we're doing right now among the six anointed camp. See, there it is. Now, Brother Micaiah, now come back to verse 7, chapter 2nd Ezra, and look at verse 17, 18 one more again. 17 and 18. 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. What did it say?
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17 reads, "Then answered I and said, O Yahweh, that bearest rule, you have ordained in your Torah instruction that the righteous should inherit these things, but that the unyahwali should perish. Verse 18, nevertheless, the righteous shall suffer straight things and hope for wise, for they that have done wickedly have suffered the straight thing, and yet shall not see the wise."
Hate that. Here's the man, friend. He's saying, listen, see, lawyer. He's making it plain to you. If you come into Yahweh, you're going to suffer straight things. Just as the wicked is putting out crooked things and saying they straight. But I'm going to burn them in the fire in verse 18. Yeah, this is what they're saying, right? He said, listen to verse 17. You're going to, listen, you ain't going, if you don't labor for this and suffer straight things, you know you're on the right track. But why is I'm suffering? Because Yahweh said you're going to suffer. But this is what the man said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. What did he say that, Brother Micaiah? What did he say we can read?
In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh hath prepared for them that love him."
Ain't that something? You know what the man is saying? Mm-hmm. He said, you can't imagine what you got coming.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to believe anointed leadership. Now he pulled that verse from Isaiah 64, verse 4. He pulled that verse there, young lion. Let's see where he pulled that verse from Isaiah 64, verse 4.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "For since the beginning of the world, man hath not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside you, what he had prepared for him that waits for him."
You see what the man is saying? You see what the man is saying? So everything you striving for, and that piece of house, leaving a car and all, listen, that ain't nothing compared to what Yahweh got for you. All you see going on in this world ain't whoopin' see, Roya, to not to be all hands and feet on deck, and thus says Yahweh. What he got for you, you cannot even imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? So all you can do, Mother Dear of Israel, in a closing statement, let's start off in Luke chapter 13, verse 24.
Let's go to Luke chapter 13, pick up verse 24. So all you can do is listen to what the Six Anointed Camp bring to you six nights a week. Luke chapter 13, pick up verse 24. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to be stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I knew you not whence you are. Verse 26. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drinking in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I knew you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of sin. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and all the seals. In the kingdom of Yahweh, and you yourselves thrust out. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall set down in the kingdom of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? That's it. There it is, see right here. They're going to come from all angles. And where they're going to? The kingdom of Yahweh, which is on earth, called paradise, called the kingdom of Yahweh, called the kingdom of heaven, called paradise. All these names is right over there, closer to the Gion than that granite rock that they got the place that they perpetrate as that's it. No, see, right? No. Don't fall for that theory. You got it in writing. Mother D of Israel, closing statement, we'll get back on it tomorrow because time has run out when you're having fun and be on the run. Closing statement behind that. Come on.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the children of Israel. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you see, the paradise is right over there, round, is in another dimension, right there where your eyes is not going to see it until you get your spiritual open, and it was already told about that in 2 Kings 6 there, Brother Micaiah. So this was about to happen for you, see, right here. You see, the seals know about it already. That's why I know this is not going to be stopped. In 1 Kings chapter 6, pick up at verse number 15 down to verse 17. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17. So we're clear. See, it's up to you to hear what the message of the Six Anointed Camp bringing to you. You ain't got to watch that one, I say. All you got to stay close to the Six Anointed Camp, so voice it over to his wife. We'll bring you on in. 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17. Come on.
2 Kings chapter 6. Verses 15 down to 17. Verse 15 reads, and when the servant of the man of Yahweh was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him,
at last, my master, how shall we do? Verse 16. And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Don't see him. Ain't that something? This is the man that's saying, he's trying to tell you, listen, all you got to do is believe the Bible. The seal's job is to open your eyes for you to see what is present before you, even the dimension that is not seen, showing you how it's going to be in 2nd Ezra chapter 8, 52 to 63 in a closing statement. Let's go to 2nd Ezra chapter 8, verse 52 down to verse 63. See, our job is to paint the picture. It's up to you. 2nd Ezra 8, 52 to 63 in a closing statement. Now, you online? You on the clock. Come on.
Okay, the book is 2nd Ezra, chapter 8, verse 52 down to 63. 52 reads, for unto you is paradise open. The tree of life is planted. The time to come is prepared. Plenteousness is made ready. A city is built, and rest is allowed. Yea, perfect goodness and wisdom. Verse 53. The root of evil is sealed up from you. Weakness and moth is hid from you. And corruption is fled into hell to be forgotten. Verse 54. Sorrows are past, and in the end is showed the treasures of immortality. Verse 55. And therefore ask you no more questions concerning the multitude of them that perish. Verse 56, for when they had taken liberty, they despised the Most High Yahuwah, thought scorn of his Torah instruction, and forsook his way. Verse 4, moreover, they have trodden down his righteousness. 58, and said in their mind that there is no Yahuwah, yea, and that knowing they must die. Verse 59, for as the things aforesaid shall receive you, so thrust and pain are prepared for them. For it was not his will that man should come to naught. Verse 60, but they which be created have defiled the name of Yahweh, the name of him that made them, and were unthankful unto him which prepared life for them. Verse 61, and therefore is my judging now at hand. 62, these things have I not showed unto all men, but unto you, and a few like you, as I in said. Verse 63, behold, Yahuwah, now has you showed me the multitude of the ones which you will begin to do in the last time, but at what time? You has not showed me.
Let's go to Ezekiel 33,